Welcome to Expert Extra, a new feature of the Inside 254 podcast, where we sit down with an expert in a field to help us and you make sense of current events. We hope you enjoy it.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped you would be.
Dearest listeners, we know you enjoy what you're hearing. We work hard to bring you excellent content, and now we're asking for your help. We need to pay our hosting fees for the year, so you can help us be sustainable. A one-time donation of $25, or become a patron at the $8 level, and you will get one of our brand new, hot-off-the-press logo journals for you to write your resistance thoughts in as we go into 2018. So donate directly to myself or Colleen through Facebook Messenger, or become a patron on our Podbean page for $8 a month and you'll get the journal along with some other swag. We appreciate your generosity in helping us sustain our feminist activist podcast to help you survive the era of Trump. Thanks for keeping us sustainable. Today, Inside 254 is sitting down with Bridget Brave. She is a lawyer who worked for 7 years in Wisconsin as a juvenile public defender, a felony-level prosecutor, and an advocate for children of violent crime. Thank you so much, Bridget, for speaking with me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I also want to shout out to Dr. Ashley Clayson from the Writing at Work podcast for connecting us with you. Really appreciated that. I wanted to speak with a legal expert, sort of to get your perspective. We seem to be having this, I don't know, a sea change in our cultural tolerance or our societal tolerance for male abuse of power. We see lots of women coming forth right now with accusations and revelations of sexual assault and their stories of abuse from the past, from the present. We're seeing a lot of very powerful, high-profile public figures, men and public officials, suffering the consequences and experiencing consequences of this. So just to be clear, we are speaking the Friday before Thanksgiving, and this Expert Extra will come out on December 1st. So I have a feeling that probably lots more is going to happen between now and then. But in the meantime, I thought if we could broaden the lens out a little bit, I wanted to ask your perspective. Do you see all of what's going on as a sea change, as a cultural shift toward believing women, toward a lower tolerance for male abusive power? Or do you think this is sort of a blip on the radar? How do you read this moment?
Well, I certainly hope it's not a blip on the radar, because this is something that's needed to happen for a long time. Speaking both as someone who has been on the defense and prosecution side in these kind of cases, it's incredibly hard for a victim to come forward. It takes a lot of, you know, not just courage, but time, effort. You're risking everything when you do this. So the fact that now there are so many women who are all willing to step forward and say, hey, look, this happened, I think it's helping other victims say, okay, it's okay for me to admit that this happened to me, that maybe I don't have to be so afraid of the consequences anymore because I'm able to join a movement at mm-hmm. this point and have all of that support around us. So I really do hope it is a sea change, and that in the future we see people coming forward earlier, we see people able to talk about it with friends, family, loved ones, their superiors at work, all of that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying that, because I have the same hope, But I see what's going on now as sort of almost like there a brush fire was begun about a month ago. We've got, you know, Harvey Weinstein and all of them and Kevin Spacey, and now we've got, you know, Roy Moore, the politician who's running for Senate in Alabama, and we've got Al Franken, and we've got all these, a lot of these stories are coming out, and they're all high profile. And I hear what you're saying about a lot of these women who are coming out, they potentially have a lot to lose by speaking up ever, and certainly right now, in this sort of hot political moment. However, I wonder, I kind of want to echo what Mika Brzezinski said on Morning Joe this morning. She was wondering what the goal of all this is. And what should the goal be? Because for me, I would love to make this, like, to see all of this be an inspiration to men who might be thinking it's okay to sexually assault or, you know, come on to women inappropriately as a cautionary tale. And I would love to think that this is going to inspire women who suffer these assaults to say something in the moment and to report it when it happens. But I don't know, maybe the skeptic in me is going, I don't know, are we going to make that leap?
Oh, and I absolutely understand that. I do see the little micro changes that are happening, though. You know, just on a purely anecdotal level, I have seen more and more of my male friends saying, oh, God, I grabbed that girl in a bar once, and I'm so embarrassed that that happened, and, you know, I didn't even think about it at the time. I thought I was being funny. I thought it was a joke, but, God, she's probably thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of thing you have to think about when you're in that situation. And as someone who works with children, I'm seeing more mothers now saying, I'm talking to my kids and saying, hey, if this happens to you, tell me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's starting that conversation earlier. It's starting that conversation to be more open. I'm seeing more and more people say, hey, it's important for you to use real body parts when you describe their anatomy to them. All of these things that, you know, when I was in the prosecutor's office, we would try to enforce as being very, very important so that there was always a clear conversation happening about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while it's so unfortunate that it's taking this to get people to actually talk about it openly, I am glad it's happening. And, I mean, even my father was a cop, and he even at this point said, I had no idea this happened to you. And I was like, God, Dad, when you're a 12-year-old girl, how do you tell your large cop father? And he's like, but you should be. I was like, yeah, I know. I should have been able to. But hopefully there are other people now who are seeing this happening and are talking to their kids. And it will become something that in the moment the kid says, you know, no, this isn't okay. I'm telling an adult immediately. And that older women will say, you know, hey, don't touch me like that. Stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Getting, you know, talking, watching out for one another, too, is huge. I'm seeing more and more of that where if someone is going out, it's like, hey, you know, here's, just yell for me if you need me. That kind of thing. And that all seems, I'm hoping that that's not something that just goes away, like, so many things that become memes on the internet do, you know. I'm always reminded of the Kony movement. I'm hoping that this doesn't become that, where in a few months it's just, we're not talking about it anymore. I'm hoping that it doesn't change.
Like what you're hearing? Become a patron of our podcast and help us be sustainable. Click that little green Become a Patron button on our Podbean page and it'll get you started. But here's the cool news. There are 3 different patron levels that you can participate in to show your love and support of our hard work for you. A monthly commitment of just $1, which is less than the cost of a cup of coffee, gets you a large, cool, square sticker for your computer with our freshly designed logo, and you can share the love. For $5 a month, you get 2 stickers, a shout out on Facebook and on the podcast, plus our newest patron level of $8 a month. You'll get all the love and swag of the $1 and $5 levels, but also early access to every episode and expert extra. So join our patron team at this $8 a month level and be in the know before everyone else. All of your donations are greeted with our deepest gratitude. Thanks for keeping us sustainable.
An element of that, I guess, that concern. You know, I hate to say this, but it seems to me, at least the stories I've been reading even the last couple of days, I feel like a lot of people are playing politics with sexual assault, with accusations, with revelations, with coming forward. You know, each sort of the big 2 sides in our country are sort of pointing at each other, going, well, you guys are the ones, and you, and to me, I don't, that makes me very uncomfortable, because I feel like, as a Democratic woman, This transcends politics. Or it should.
Absolutely should.
This is something we should all be able to get behind. So it really bothers me when I'm seeing, especially men. I mean, I went on and put a comment on a Guardian story and, you know, basically said, I don't care what, and it was a story about Al Franken. Like, my point was, I don't really care what side you're on politically. Believe women. And the men who commit these crimes ought to be held to account. I don't care who you are. And there was a lot of pushback from male commenters. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. This is just me, and I'm not anyone that special. And I'm thinking, what is the defensiveness of some, not all, so be careful, not all men, but some men who really seem just put off by even the conversation. And that's the hurdle that we have to overcome as a society, as a culture. So I guess I'm wondering, is this really the moment where maybe we'll start pushing over that hurdle?
Well, I would, you know, again, I would certainly hope so. I think we're seeing it being covered more and more now, the whataboutism, which allows people to deflect. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing in that defensiveness is the pervasive fear that they're going to be seen as one of the aggressors. And a lot of it is just the way we perceive media now, where everyone feels personally attacked mm-hmm. by what's being said. And it's just the way that things are being presented. And, you know, but I always step back when I do have those men in my life who say, well, but, you know, I'm not an attacker. I'm like, okay, but what makes you so defensive? Did anyone accuse you? Is this something personal? You know, if you're feeling that way, you need to really examine your own feelings and try to learn from that experience and, like, really internalize why you think that you are part of that group being attacked and why you shouldn't be on the side of the people who are calling it out.
I like that you're saying, because that was I was going to ask you, so how do you talk to the men in your life, in your work, in your moving through the world when you run into that?
Well, and it's always been tough, especially from a legal perspective, because when you are an attorney, you're looking at everything with a very critical eye. And when the stories come into you, you're like, well, you know, it's one of the things that you really have to move away from, that line between, I always say, being an attorney and being a human being, is realizing that evidence that gets a prosecution isn't the same as believing and listening to someone. And, you know, you can believe someone, you can listen to them, and still not be able to get a conviction in a courtroom. Because the difference between, you know, actually getting a conviction depends on a jury. And juries are sometimes unreliable. That doesn't prove anything. All that is a criminal conviction. And just because someone has not been criminally convicted for whatever reason, because there wasn't enough evidence, because there wasn't enough prosecutorial resources in that county to actually prosecute this person, because it was a statute of limitations thing, whatever, that doesn't absolve them of the act itself. We can still listen to victims. We can still believe victims. We can still support victims, even if there's not that what seems to be like the all-important conviction that's happening.
That's a really good point. And I know when I asked to talk to you, I wasn't planning to delve into this, but since you brought it up, I'm thinking, is there anything that you can say to our listeners to advise, especially any women or men out there who may have experienced sexual assault and who are now thinking, maybe I ought to make a report, maybe I ought to tell someone, maybe I ought to make it official and actually report this person? You have experience in the legal system. Any advice to someone who might be thinking that?
Well, and of course, you know, this does not constitute actual legal advice, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not licensed in the state of Washington. I am still, you know, I've moved away from Wisconsin, so I'm not right now practicing as a lawyer.
Right. So just generally.
Generally, the big thing is report as early as possible. I understand that it's uncomfortable. A lot of prosecutorial offices will have a victim witness department, which will have people who are specially trained just to talk to victims. And that doesn't mean you have to go forward with anything. It means you can go and you can actually talk to someone who is experienced in these kind of cases, get their feedback, meet with an officer, and your advocate will be there the entire time with you while you make a report. So don't ever feel like you're doing this alone. There is a team of people who want to help you with this process. So if it is something that you want to do, please come forward. Talk to everyone in the office. Everything's confidential. They aren't going to release your name. They aren't going to tell anyone else that you have been there. But sometimes even just the process of talking it out helps. And it helps the prosecutors because, you know, prosecutors are young sometimes. They're straight out of law school, or they're older and they're a little bit disillusioned. And hearing it from the victims sometimes helps make an impact even in their lives.
That, I think that's valuable. That's so valuable to hear. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, I guess we'll just have to watch. We're going to have to watch how this all plays out over the course of the next few weeks, months, even as we move forward. And I'm with you. I hope that this truly is some kind of a sea change, a cultural shift. I hope that people believe women more. I hope that, you know, the men in our lives who are not predatory, and there are quite a few, instead of responding defensively, they step back and say, let me sit and be uncomfortable with this for a minute. I mean, I try to tell men in my life that, but it's a hard hill to climb, I think, sometimes for them.
yeah, it is. It's rough, but, you know, that's the beauty of the internet, is that there's all kinds of exposure to new ideas.
Right. That's right. Well, let's hope this is sort of the beginning of the end of this acceptance that men are just right. That old idea of boys will be boys, right? Like, maybe this is truly the beginning of the end of that. It would be wonderful. But thank you so much, Bridget, for speaking to me today and providing your perspective, and your non-binding legal advice, general encouragement for anyone who is thinking of reporting.
Anytime.
Yes.
Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Sure, of course.
Thanks for listening to this Expert Extra. For more information on our podcast and to find episodes, please visit Inside254Site, that's S-I-T-E, .wordpress.com. You can find us on Podbean and iTunes, and please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest. Thanks for listening.